to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Good morning, CSL Columbia. Boy, am I happy to be here. Wow. You know, it's so funny that, okay, there's no accidents, right? That I'm talking about, there's no place like home. And I'm going to talk about my running away from home. And I didn't know if I was going to get back, but hey, I'm back. So glad to be here. Guys, let me start by thanking everyone. Thank you so much for inviting me to be here. It's like such an honor to be here with you guys. I want to thank Reverend Nadine for lending me her pulpit. And I really also want to thank Dr. Lisa for introducing me to this congregation. I don't know if you're here, Dr. Lisa, but thank you for introducing me to this congregation way back in, I think it was 2017. And when I came to a Sunday service and saw how many folks I already knew through other channels that were already here, I knew in some ways that I had a home here too. So it really feels like coming home every time I come and visit you guys. And I'm sorry we're not all in person, but I'm so happy to be with you all. And as many of you know, for the last 2 years, I've had the pleasure and the privilege and the honor of working with Eugene Holden. Yay, rock star, right? And he has taught me so much about CSL philosophy, and I'm so grateful for that. But I would be remiss if I didn't also express gratitude for my sister, Io McClenny, for introducing me to Eugene. Because but for you, I am not sure that race talk would be a thing, and my life would really not be what it is right now. So, and just finally, thanks to all of you who are here on this journey with me. Just thanks for that blessing of that music. Safi Lynn, I'm gonna buy your music because that was truly transformational for me. So the title of my talk this morning is There's No Place Like Home. I'll be talking a little bit about the power that prayer has to return us to our home, our center, to ground us in reality and to help us navigate when life gets uncomfortable. And we're living in some uncomfortable times, right? It feels like, you know, there's a lot of extremes going on for some people and myself included. Life is occurring as a little bit chaotic, and righteousness for me seems to have taken a backseat to reason. And that's not the most comfortable place to be. And when our comfort is challenged, whether the challenge is slight or extreme, prayer can remind us of who we are and what is important and why we're here. So I'm not a CSL minister. Most of you know that, nor am I particularly religious. You might not know that, but I believe that Spirit has called me here for a reason. And so here I am. And having said that, I had to take a pause, right, when I found out that the theme for this month was emotion and the power of prayer. Because when I was growing up, prayer was not a thing in my family, and it wasn't a part of my spiritual upbringing, right? I was raised Unitarian Universalist, and while my UU roots really do remain a guiding principle in my life, prayer, and particularly affirmative prayer, was something that I had to discover on my own. And over the years, I frequently struggled to feel comfortable with prayer as a regular practice. I have no question in my mind that prayer, especially affirmative prayer, is essential to manifesting the magic of life, for sure. But that I would be talking to a group of prayer warriors about the power of prayer, to me, is hilarious. So God, thank you for your sense of humor. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk a little bit about my own spiritual journey. Again, I'm so grateful. So in my journey, I have met many, many folks who I respect and revere, for whom prayer is a way of life. I mentioned Eugene, of course, but he is just one of many. And through conversations and my own personal experience, I have learned to trust that prayer does make a difference. And we know that. Prayer changes our energy. It changes our outlook. It changes our lives. Prayer heals and transforms our minds and our bodies and, of course, our emotions. And these things I do know. But again, I confess that I have had to remind myself of these things over the years, and I still do from time to time. So like I said, there's no place like home. But I've run away from home, as I said earlier, more than a few times in my life, both physically and emotionally. And like a lot of folks I know, and maybe even some of you, I've had my share of trauma and I've struggled with PTSD. And over time, the way that I dealt with that was to withdraw and to run away from the hard stuff in life, but also to run away from stuff even when it's going well, because I didn't trust it and I didn't trust myself. And it took me a while to see what I was doing, right? It took me a while to see that for me, running away from home meant running away from myself, my big S self. Running away from the shame of bad decisions. Running away from the discomfort of being my true and authentic self. For me, for years, emotional turmoil was a way of life. And I was more comfortable with upheaval than with stability. So I gonna tell you, I moved between Maryland and New York at least three times, probably more, before I finally realized there was no cheese down that tunnel, right? In and out of the same bad relationships, looking for love, looking for approval, looking for a place where I felt I belonged. So you've probably heard the adage that says, no matter where you go, there you are. Well, it took me a while, but I finally got it, hard-headed, what can I say? Not until the last few years did I actually embrace the other piece of that, which is whatever you do and wherever you go, your occurring world is the reflection of your own consciousness. It took me a while to get that. And for me, my consciousness was always given by the specter of having the rug ripped out from under me. So running away always seemed like the right thing to do. Now, gradually, I've come to understand and even appreciate my journey. I know now that my mess is my ministry, but that doesn't mean that I don't need to remind myself of a couple of things. And the first thing is, one, I am good. Two, the power of God is at my disposal. Three, that my prayers are a declaration that these things are true. And when I say these things, I mean, one, I am good, and two, the power of God is at my disposal. And then number four, in declaring that, I am assured of everything I need and want in my life, right? Stability, tranquility, love, joy, peace, abundance, partnership, community, good health, and a sense of purpose. My God, how yummy. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that we've all been there, right? Emotional upheaval has carried us all away from home at one time or another, either for a long time or a very short time. It just depends on who we are. Prayer returns us to our sanity and to ourselves. So I received my ordination from One Spirit Interfaith Seminary in New York. And before that time, I'd been supporting and coaching people for about 30 years, but prayer was never a part of that support. And in preparation for graduation, we were asked to create our own vows. And I struggled, man, did I struggle with those vows. I remember struggling for weeks, changing the words around, trying to memorize the words. And the day finally came, we were supposed to get up in front of the class and recite our vows. And instead of reading what I had written, I got up there and I winged it. Really, and there was nothing wrong with what I said. There was nothing wrong with it. I was speaking from my heart, but I was so in my head. I didn't even know what I was saying. I didn't trust that it was right. And I was so ashamed. I felt like I had betrayed something really sacred. I felt so bad, in fact, that I skipped the after party. And I spent that whole night brooding alone. And apparently, I missed a really good party, which, by the way, is what happens when you hang out in shame and like self-doubt, right? Because there's a really great party going on, but you wouldn't know it. Anyway, the next day I stood up in front of my classmates and I confessed, like I had something to confess, as if I had somehow let them down, right? I'm not sure any of you can relate to what I'm saying. I hope you can, right? I wanted their approval. I wanted God's approval. But really what I needed was my own approval. Really what I needed was to give myself permission to just be present and stop worrying about having to do it right. To stop being at the emotional end of a past trauma that says something bad is going to happen if you don't get this right. That's when I received a gift. So at the time, the spiritual director of One Spirit was its founder, Reverend Diane Burke. And she asked me a question. She said, "Lane, when you talk to God, what do you say?" I responded that the only thing that I say consistently to God is, "Thank you. Thank you for bringing me through my life and giving me another chance to make a difference in the world. Thank you for the people in my life. Thank you for the gift of wisdom and insight. Thank you for making me a conduit for your love." And honestly, that's all I say. And her next words changed my life. And what she said was, "Lane, what if your vow is to be a living thank you?" And I know that doesn't fit many people's idea of prayer, but I've been running with that. I didn't know it then, of course, but I know now that gratitude is central, right? It's central. But having said that, there are still so many times that my emotions threaten to carry me off away from home again, away from my center, away from my heart. But a simple thank you is often all it takes to bring me back to who I really am and who we all are, right? God in action. And no longer do I dream of running away from home. But I also know that sitting still can be just as dangerous sometimes, right? Often we find that place that feels like home, that place of love and wholeness, it's yummy. Who would want to leave that, right? Home is such a wonderful place as long as it's a place we love to be. And emotions get a bad rap sometimes, especially those lower emotions of fear and anxiety and self-doubt, because we know that they're being triggered by that baser need for survival instead of from our higher place of divine wisdom. So yes, we all want and need to hang out as much as we can in that higher place that prayer helps us access, but we can't just hang out there. As a racial justice activist, my work is to raise the social consciousness, and that requires emotional engagement. It's just part of the process. Now, I believe that raising the collective consciousness to move humanity forward is one of the reasons why we're all here together on the planet. I believe it's why anyone is born. To care for and to care about each other on the level of humanity. Right? We're here to love and revere each other on the level of spirit and to invite people to join us in community. To hold space for them, right? To hold space for each other's growth and development. That's why we're here, isn't it? But as simple as that might sound, right? It's easier said than done, isn't it? Sometimes we need to feel those lower emotions to connect with our fellow human beings. And it's uncomfortable. And this is significant for me because from calm to chaos is a short trip for me, right? Feeling other people's pain can really be a trigger for mine. And we're all that way. These days, more than ever, it seems, people are running away from home on the whim of emotions gone crazy, right? People are angry, they're fearful, they're hurting. And as we know, hurt people hurt people. These days of psycho spiritual disconnect, right? The grounding prayer, excuse me, the grounding power of prayer can't be overstated. We need this. Prayer can insulate us from the emotional trauma and turmoil that comes from being a witness to suffering. But we have to be careful that we don't insulate ourselves to the point of exempting ourselves, right? Just because we know that suffering is optional, we should not exempt ourselves from experiencing the suffering of others. We kind of need to embrace the responsibility that we all share for the welfare of our human family and this beautiful planet we all share, so that we can dare to advocate for a solution, right? We know that God is everywhere. We know that good is everywhere. But in our commitment to see everything as good, acknowledging pain and inequity could occur as a challenge. Being a change maker, is difficult. Walking in someone else's shoes, well, that's darn near impossible. But even impossibility is an occurring reality that can be transformed through the power of prayer, right? We know this. And we have to use what we know to do what challenges us most. Knowing that we can walk into the fray protected and nurtured by our connection to divine consciousness is key to contributing to a world that works for everyone. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God." Oh, God, great advice, right? Not only so we can experience joy in every circumstance, but also to ameliorate the emotional dissonance that accompanies social and political discourse, right? That fear of challenging the status quo or the anxiety of connecting with people who don't look or live like we do. It really can get us and get at us. In The Revealing Word, Charles Fillmore defines faith as the perceiving power of the mind linked with the power to shape substance. I love this. Like faith, he says, is a deep inner knowing that that which is sought is already ours for the taking. It's a spiritual assurance that we have the power to do the seemingly impossible. Okay, that needs to go on my bathroom mirror, so I can look at that every day. I bring this up because prayer and faith go hand in hand, right? Believing that prayers are already answered is really key to creating the emotional stability to push past the discomfort of living in a world that challenges us to stay awake and in action. Faith in the power of God operating in us, as us, and through us is what gives us the courage to push against inequity and injustice. As people committed to an inclusive society, we are called to embrace love and embrace truth and embrace the divinity that ties us all together, even when the outer world suggests that our differences are insurmountable. But sometimes we need to do a little bit more. It's been said that if you can't see God in all, you can't see God at all. And so, as we see our fellow human beings struggling to see God in each other, we know also that they are struggling to see God in themselves. So let us pray, yes, to maintain our own understanding of who and what we are as beings of unlimited capacity. But let us also act in keeping with our commitment to create a world that does work for everyone, even those we don't understand or agree with. Truly, 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 I believe that none of us is free until all of us are free. And to bring it back to the theme of my talk, there's no place like home, I would also say that none of us can be truly, truly at home until all of us are home. Let us pray. So as we know that there is only one power, that power is God. And that power is always working for our good. And as we know that power of goodness and godness is operating in us, through us, and as us in the world, and as we know that we can use that power to benefit not only our lives, but the lives of every living thing, it is our responsibility, not only to ourselves, but to those who share our world, and that we share the world with others is also a gift in itself. That is a gift, that we get to share this life, this love, this wisdom, this goodness, this godness. And for this, we express great gratitude. We express great gratitude for the love of God, and the peace of God, and the wisdom of God, and for the strength of God, and for the community of God. We give great thanks. And it is with great gratitude that we accept all of these gifts and this responsibility of the Spirit, and release our word into the world with love and the knowledge that it will return to us tenfold. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.